Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. In this hour, two stories brought to conclusion we've been following. Later on, it's Adventures by Morse, but first, part three of three of Mark Twain, or Samuel Clemens' story, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, heard on NBC on June 18, 1948.
In this final portion of the strange story of a Yankee from Hartford, Connecticut, who was knocked unconscious in a fight and awoke to find himself at King Arthur's court, the Connecticut Yankee himself tells of the adventures of a 19th century American in 6th century England.
Time went by, and as good King Arthur's prime minister, I tried to bring the blessings of the future to the realm, although I was opposed by the magician Merlin and many knights and nobles. With my loyal assistant Clarence to help me, and the maid Sandy to encourage me, I quietly and secretly established schools, factories, telegraph and telephone communications, and our own military and naval academy. Of course, I made enemies, and one of them, Sir Sagramore, challenged me to battle in the great tournament at Camelot. That's when I decided to strike a blow at this business of knighthood and chivalry that sounded so fine, but was really nothing but tyranny. I accepted the challenge, and the great day dawned. The flower of knighthood was gathered there, and the justing began, with one killed or wounded contestant after another being carried from the field. Then it was my turn to ride against Sir Sagramore. There was a big cheer as Sagramore rode to his place on a big white charger, the sun glittering on his armor and the plume of his helmet dancing in the breeze. Then there was a roar of laughter when I appeared, for I was wearing nothing but a gymnasium suit and was carrying no weapons, only a coil of rope. But the laughter died when the battle signal was given. And Sir Sagramore charged, coming full tilt with his lance pointed toward me. I felt the sweat break out, but I held my ground till the last split second, then swerved my horse and dodged, and he went clattering by like the 515 Express. He wheeled and turned and came rushing past again. This time, spurring my horse aside as he went by, I twirled my rope over my head like a lasso. I threw the loop, saw the noose settle around his shoulders, then braced my horse. And Sir Sagramore came down with a crash like a hardware store struck by lightning. After that, the other knights challenged me one by one, and I roped and hogtied them as fast as they came. Yes, sir, it was me against the whole world of chivalry that day. At last, I rode back to my tent. I'd beaten the whole lot of them.
Ah, sir, boss, thou hast defeated all knight errantry.
Well, Clarence, I guess that'll show them what a Yankee can do, noble blood or no noble blood. Now, I guess we can knock off and call it a day.
Sire, there is one more to challenge thee.
Merlin, where did you come from? What do you want here?
I come to tell ye Sir Sagramore hath entered the fray again, and I have woven a spell about him to make ye powerless.
Go along with your spells, Merlin, but if Sir Sagramore wants to tilt again, I guess I've got to accommodate him.
This time ye will see who is the master. Thy power is done.
"'Tis true, Sir Boss. Sir Sagramore doth ride once more. But beware of Merlin and his evil magic.
I'm not worried about the old buzzard's magic. But wait a minute. Where's my rope? What happened to my lasso?
Well, truly, 'tis gone, Sir Boss. But 'twas here a moment ago.
He stole it. That's what happened. That dirty little crook, Merlin. The battle signal was given, and I rode out. Sagramore could see that I was weaponless, but he came charging at me anyway, a big sword flashing death in the air. It was his life against mine. So when he was almost on top of me, I grabbed my revolver from a hidden holster and fired. There was a flash and a roar. I shoved the revolver back in its hiding place, and Sir Sagramore fell from his rearing horse, stone dead. Well, you never saw such excitement. Through it all, I stayed on my horse in the center of the field. I challenged any knight who dared ride against me. Then I challenged them all together. And it was a bluff, for there were hundreds of them, but I looked them in the eye, and they stopped in their tracks. Knight errantry was doomed, and the march of civilization was begun.
Your Majesty, there are greater wonders than any you've seen yet that I can give your people.
Greater wonders yet, Sir Boss?
Yes, King Arthur. Things like education, freedom, and equality.
Oh?
But first, I want to take a look around the country.
Whate'er ye wish shall be at thy command. My coach, my servants...
No, Your Majesty. I'm going to go as a peasant, so I can see how the people really live. Then I can plan for them better.
As a peasant? Though it is a strange adventure. What wouldst thou think if it were in my heart to go with thee, likewise disguised?
I'd think it's a good idea, and it's just what I expected you to say, Your Majesty. I'd like for you to see how life in your country is, not for lords and nobles, but for the everyday man.
It shall be done, Sir Boss. And I shall see my people without they know to be on guard. Come, let us journey forth where'er the road wanders.
We must get off the road, Your Majesty. Someone's riding this way. It looks like a group of nobles.
Let them ride, Sir Boss. Thus disguised, no one shall know me.
Well, don't forget that you're a peasant. Now, you've got to take off your hat to them.
Have no fear. I'll not forget.
Oh, here they come. Now, be careful.
Oh! What meanest this, varlet?
Your Majesty, get off the road.
Thou insolent knave. Make way when one of my rank rides by.
Make way? But of a surety, there is room enough and more for both of us.
Thou swine! Methinks my whip will remind thee of thy place.
Oh.
There, take that, and learn to speak not so arrogantly.
But, sire, I only...
Lucky for you, I have no time to give you the thrashing you deserve. Stand aside, and remember the lash in time to come.
Why, by my crown, I'll have
Shut
you...
Shut up, you fool! I mean, Your Majesty, let them go on.
But by my faith, they shall pay for this.
Never mind. Why, you almost ended our trip before it began. Now remember, we must not only look, but act like peasants.
But is the road not for the use of all? He had no right to act in such a manner.
No, Your Majesty. You're the one who has no rights. Not as long as you're a peasant.
But, Sir Boss, I did aught that thou asked of me. I uncovered my head and even bowed.
Oh, I don't know what to do with you, Your Majesty. You just don't have the right look about you. Come on. Let's practice here by the side of the road. Now, do you think you can look as worthless, as wretched, as woebegone, as the vilest peasant?
I trow I can appear as insignificant as any man.
No, I'm not so sure. It takes a lifetime of practice, Your Majesty. Now, I suppose you try to walk back and forth like a peasant.
So shall I do. I pride myself that I can learn.
No, Your Majesty, that isn't it at all. You're not a man now, much less a noble. You're dirt under everyone's feet. Your head's down. Your eyes look at the ground. Your shoulders sag. Your body slouches. And your step is shambling.
Verily, I shall master the way of it. Watch now. And see if peradventure this is right.
Well, that's pretty good, Your Majesty. But there's still something wrong. You see, the trouble is, you still have pride and spirit. You think you're as good as anyone. Now get the feel of it. You're in debt. You're out of work. Your wife is sick, and your children are crying because they're hungry. But you dare not ask for food. You're ashamed in the sight of those who love you, but you cannot protest. You hate those who oppress you, but you no longer question.
But, sire, is it true that in England...
I said you no longer question. I'll tell you all you need to know, without your help.
Yes, sire. I did not mean to speak nor question thy authority.
There. That's better, Your Majesty. Just remember poverty and shame. Remember despair and disgrace. The king and I got along all right after that. And as we traveled, he learned things he'd never known. What it meant to be hungry. We were penniless and friendless, and I guess we looked at that morning as we joined a crowd in the town square.
I wonder on the meaning of the crowd. Let us push closer.
Stand back! Who dost thou think thou art shoving?
Pardon us, sir.
Thou art an officer by thy garb. Perhaps thou wouldst deign to tell us.
Thou dost not know the business at hand?
We are strangers here in London town.
Strangers, are ye now?
We have wandered here from far yonder.
Perhaps then ye be not only strangers. Why have ye wandered from afar?
Well, you see, fair sir, we were looking for work.
Oh, guard!
Seize these two men.
What? Yes, sire.
What is the meaning?
Hold ye two, repeat our death.
Lock them in chains.
Yes, sire.
Hey, what's the meaning of this?
Explain at once what meaneth this ill mannered jest.
Ye two are strangers and wanderers by thy own words. Perhaps ye also be slaves who have escaped thy master.
Slaves? We be not slaves.
I claim ye slaves, and ye shall be sold at yonder auction. Ye ask what transpireth here. Tis a slave sale. Ye wanted a better view. Ye shall be on the platform itself.
Oh, but you can't do this.
Nay, tis not fair. And we be slaves, thou must prove us slaves.
Knowest thou not thy nation's laws? Ye must prove ye are not slaves, and ye cannot. Guard, take them to the auction block.
Well, sir, we were sold as slaves. King Arthur had been stunned and silent at first on the block, but when he was sold, he brought his chained hands down on a noble's head in a sudden burst of rage. I helped him in the scuffle, and we found ourselves in a prison dungeon. And we were chained and locked together, but two things happened on the way to the dungeon that cheered me up. I managed to find and hide a broken sword point, and I caught a glimpse of a wire stretched from housetop to housetop. It must be one of our telephones. Though it was morning, it was dark as night as we lay in the gloom of our stone cell. You'll have to pardon me, Your Majesty, but you were crazy to hit that fellow.
I could help it not, Sir Boss. It made my blood to boil.
To be sold as a slave? We're worse off now.
It was not only to be sold as a slave that angered me, but didst thou not hear the price? Why, I have paid more than was bid for me for a hunting hound.
Well, never mind that now. With a little luck, we'll be free again.
Huh? Free? How so?
I have a piece of steel here to pick these locks.
Oh, good.
I have to get my own off first, then I'll attend to yours.
But what about the guards, fair sir? They come often to the cell.
All the better for us, Arthur. We'll keep our chains on as if we were still locked up. Then when the guard comes in and unlocks the door, we'll jump on him.
'Tis a brave plan for a surety.
There. I have mine off. My hands are free. Now for my ankles. There. That does it.
Make haste, Sir Boss. Someone is at the door.
I can't set you free, Your Majesty. The guard's here. We'll have to try it another time.
No, you are free. Attack the guard when he enters.
Oh, you varlet. Are you learning well the folly of striking out against our betters?
We have learned many things. Mayhap enough to teach you something.
What's the meaning of this? His chains are free. You shall pay for this. Ho! Oh, guard!
Silence him!
You must flee, Sir Boss. I can hold this knave whilst he escapes.
But you can't come with me.
Hurry before the others come. Run whilst the door is open. Tis better one of us escape than we both remain in durance. Go, I command ye.
All right, I'll bring help.
Haste ye! The other guards are coming. Run, run, as ne'er before.
I just barely made it out of there before the other guards came. Then I ducked down side streets and alleys till I thought I was safe. After that, I struck out for that wire I'd seen, and I followed it till it led to the floor over a little butcher shop. The shop was empty, and I ran up the steps and opened the door. Quick! Call up Camelot!
How dost thou know about the telephone?
Oh, I forgot. Hello, Central. Oh. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, 'tis the password.
Now hurry, I'm a desperate man. Call Camelot and ask for Clarence.
Hello? Hello, Central. Get me long distance. Camelot. 'Tis a person-to-person call to Mr. Clarence.
I hope that goes through quick. This is no time for a wrong number.
Here's your party.
Hello? Hello, Clarence. This is the boss. Now listen carefully. The king is here in London, and he's in danger. Send an army of soldiers at once, and in a hurry. Have them march to the prison, and I'll try to meet them there. Is that clear? Good. Well, what's that? Well, you'll start in half an hour? Good boy, Clarence. Goodbye. I slipped out of the butcher shop the back way, but somehow they'd followed me. I no more than turned out of an alley into a street when...
Oh, men! It is! Tis he who struck me on the pate!
Now, just a minute.
Hold her, thou art a dead man. Thou'lt not escape this time.
All right, I'll go quietly, officer, but by tomorrow my companion and I will be free.
Aye, and marry well you shall be. You shall be free of prison and of life itself.
What's that?
For your violence, you've been condemned to death.
Oh, so that's the story. When's this execution going to come off? Tomorrow at sunrise, I suppose.
You suppose not well. You shall be hanged this very day, in the middle of the afternoon.
I'm not a nervous man, but I almost fainted when I heard his words. There would be no time for help to come. No one could save the King of England, nor this Connecticut Yankee from death. My head swam dizzily as they marched me back to the prison to join the king. Then they led us to a platform in the prison yard, and a great crowd gathered for the festivities. And they got more entertainment than they bargained for, because King Arthur decided to take a last chance.
Ye knaves and varlets, are there none among you to recognize your master? I am Arthur, King of Britain.
Oh, listen now. This is His Majesty, the King.
Bow down, everyone. Bow down.
Let us kneel before His serene and sacred raggedness.
You fools. It is King Arthur. He's your king.
Of course, of a surety he is.
Methinks he's the king's minister.
Yes. Yes, I am his minister. I'm the boss. And by tonight, you'll hear from Camelot.
He is the boss. Show then one of thy miracles.
Come, enough of this nonsense. The hangman is ready. Let there be silence seen for such wretches as these as they ascend the gallows. Come, thou bearded one. Climb yonder steps.
Farewell, Sir Boss. Thou hast been my faithful counselor and the friend of my kingdom. Farewell.
Goodbye, King Arthur. You're a man fit to be a king.
Oh, but wait.
No, it can't be. I must be seeing things.
Gadzooks! What strange manner of thing is this? Oh, it's bodikins! There is a sound of a swarm of locusts!
Lack-a-day!
Mine eyes deceiveth me.
Your Majesty, it's help from Camelot. Look at them come!
But what strange steeds are those?
They're on bicycles, Your Majesty, on bicycles, hundreds of them!
Hola! Hola, Sir Boss, we're here!
Oh, it's Clarence in the lead, Your Majesty. On your knees, everyone! Kneel to the king!
Stand back! Stand back, everyone, or we'll ride over you! Are you all right, Sir Boss?
Yes, thanks to you, Clarence. You got here just in time. I didn't know we had bicycle cavalry.
It's a little surprise I've been saving, Boss. I've had the boys practicing for a long time, just waiting for a chance to show it off.
When we got back to Camelot, King Arthur backed me all the way as I settled down to improving conditions throughout the country. And to make my happiness complete, I married the maid Sandy. Years of peace and progress went by, until at last I felt free to go with Sandy on a vacation on the French coast. I was so happy I quit worrying about everything until news ceased to come from England. As the days passed, I knew that something must be wrong, terribly wrong. I resolved to go back alone. I made my way secretly across the English countryside, and it was a strange and silent land. I asked no questions, but hurried as quickly as I could to see Clarence.
No sooner were you gone from the land, Sir Boss, when Merlin and Sir Mordred, the king's nephew, plotted to take over the kingdom.
Yeah, but the people were loyal to King Arthur. What could they do?
They turned the king against Sir Lancelot by telling him of the rumor of the love between Lancelot and Queen Guinevere.
Now, that's a good start in treason, all right.
The king had the queen put in prison in his anger. Then those who were loyal to Sir Lancelot rode to rescue her.
And that set off the fireworks, I suppose.
Sir Lancelot wanted only peace for the realm. And he retreated to his castle of Joyous Gard. All might have ceased, but Merlin and Mordred counseled the king to pursue him there, leaving the kingdom in Sir Mordred's hands.
And when Mordred got his hands on it, he wouldn't let go.
'Tis true. He seized the realm. So when the king returned, their armies fought until Sir Mordred fell.
Oh, that's good. But I'll bet nothing happened to Merlin.
Nay, Merlin liveth on. But in the same battle, King Arthur fought till he was slain.
King Arthur? King Arthur's dead?
Aye.
What a sad day for Britain.
And you'll be dead too, Sir Boss, if Merlin has his way. All the knights are gathering now to destroy those who are loyal to you.
Well, we'll see about that, hey, Clarence? What can they do against our scientific war equipment and our trained armies?
Hold, Sir Boss. We have less than 60 men left.
What? Out of all our schools and factories and armies? What happened, Clarence?
Why, they deserted, that's what happened. They feared the authority of the knights and the magic of Merlin.
Well, what you say is true. Everything's lost.
Ah, not yet, Sir Boss. Do you remember Merlin's cave?
Yes.
Well, I took the loyal men, stationed them there, and fortified it for a siege.
Say, that was a first-rate idea.
I've wired dynamite charges under all our factories and mills and ammunition plants. We can blow them up in 2 seconds, so they won't fall in the hands of the enemy.
Good boy. We'll give them a tussle yet.
Why, this is our chance, Clarence. One side defeated knight errantry, but now we'll wipe it out. Let's move to the cave and get ready for action.
Well, Clarence had done the job to perfection. On a tower above the cave, there was a battery of Gatling guns. Around the cave, he'd planted a strip of land with torpedoes that would explode when anyone put foot on them. Beyond that, there were a dozen wire fences, all electrically charged. And farther off was a huge ditch which could be flooded by blowing up a dam to cut off retreat.
After looking things over, I was aching for action, so I sent out a proclamation declaring England a republic. And before a week was out, my spies reported that knights had gathered from everywhere and that all England was marching against us. I watched my 50 lads grow more and more nervous. At last, I called a meeting to ask them how they felt. And it was my old friend Hugo who was their spokesman.
Sir Boss, we would not have ye doubt our courage, nor our belief in you, for we have shared thy dream. But it is England itself that is marching against us. These people are our people, Sir Boss. They are bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Oh, we pray ye do not ask us to destroy our nation.
You have spoken well, Hugo. You are Englishmen, and you should never forget it. But while it is England that marches against us, who will march in the front?
The host of mailed knights, Sir Boss.
That's right. 30,000 mailed knights. Only the nobles and knights will ever reach our fortifications. These knights and nobles are not your fellow men, but your masters. You will be fighting only them for the freedom of England from their rule.
'Tis true as ye say, Sir Boss. We shall fight these tyrants, for we would but be loyal to our country.
Well, there wasn't any question of what we were fighting for and against after that. We manned our stations, and pretty soon we saw them coming. It was a great sea of mounted knights moving toward us, a sea that glittered as the sunlight struck wave after wave of shining armor. They came closer and closer and crossed the ditch. They straggled through the rows of wire fences by the thousands. By the time the whole vast multitude had crossed the ditch, those in front were approaching the torpedo mines only a few yards away from where we were waiting.
All ready, boss.
Hold it, Clarence. We've got them all in a trap. Wait till they hit the torpedo belt.
Here the first come, on a gallop.
All right, Clarence. The electric fences.
The fences, men! Turn on full power!
They're dropping, but they're still coming on. Open fire, Clarence.
Battery, tension! Open fire!
That's stopping them. They're turning back. Blow up the dam!
Blow up the dam!
Within 10 minutes after we'd opened fire, resistance was annihilated. We had defeated Merlin and his forces. We had defeated the lords and nobles. We had defeated tradition and tyranny. But our very victory was our own defeat. We were trapped where we were by the bodies of all the dead. Huge walls of bodies that soon filled the air with poison and struck us down one by one.
Sir Boss. Sir Boss.
Yes. Yes, Hugo. What is it, man?
Is there no chance?
No. No, Hugo. We've trapped ourselves. Our victory was not to be.
Give me your hand. Let me say farewell.
Farewell, Hugo.
At least I would have died for freedom. Not as you found me, a torture rack. Farewell.
My last old friend is dead. What? Who moves there? Clarence. Clarence, is it you? No, Clarence is dead. What am I thinking of? But someone moves. I see a shadow. Speak.
Ye were conquerors. Now ye are conquered.
That voice. I know that voice. Who are you?
I am Merlin, whom you thought you had escaped.
Merlin? What are you doing here?
I come with magic. Magic more ancient than yours. The others have all perished, but ye shall not join them.
Go away. I'm going to join Sandy. She's waiting for me.
Ye shall sleep for a long time. Ye shall sleep for a long time.
But the world will not sleep. Your magic will not prevail in time.
Ye shall sleep to wake in a strange land after 13 centuries. It is my spell. Merlin has spoken.
Yes, you can make me sleep. But my spirit will always awaken again. I'm going home. Home to Hartford, in Connecticut.
So ends The Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court by Samuel Clemens.
The World's Greatest Novels on Tuned to Yesterday, wrapping up that story from June 18, 1948 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of series on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, and now the concluding broadcast of A Coffin for the Lady, presented by Adventures by Morse, a syndicated episode from the 1st of April, 1944.
Adventures by Morse. Carlton E. Morse presents A Coffin for the Lady, featuring Captain Friday.
If you like high adventure, come with me. If you like the stealth of intrigue, come with me. If you like blood and thunder, come with me.
10 o'clock. In the dead black of a northern night on the Port Lancer waterfront, far up the Canadian coastline. On the steamship, whose stern lights can still be seen growing dimmer by the second, there is a casket. In the casket is Judith Wright, alive, conscious, and for some strange reason cooperating with her kidnappers, who are whisking her away under the very noses of her would-be rescuers. On the rickety makeshift wharf of Port Lancer are Captain Bart Friday, his fellow operative, Skip Turner, and Major Lawrence. Yes, the same Major Lawrence of Army Intelligence who got Captain Friday into this and who was supposed to have been killed back on Marmaduke Island, where Friday and Skip first picked up the girl. How is it the Major is alive? But never mind that now. Captain Friday wants action, and he wants it in a hurry.
Major Lawrence, if you've got any influence, use it now.
What do you want?
Can you get a speed launch, something that can run circles around that steamship that's getting away from us?
It's important.
Important! Man, don't you realize that Judith Wright is on that ship?
You must be wrong. I was standing over there by the gangplank checking every person.
Do we have to argue? The girl went aboard in a coffin.
Coffin? Well, come along, both of you.
Hey, Captain, you realize we're leaving that bird English where he lay after you socked him?
Where were your eyes, Skip?
What you mean?
Didn't you see those two men sniffing around the body?
Well, yeah, but I thought they was a couple of natives.
Oh, Major Lawrence's men. They'll look after English.
Come on down these steps. Look lively in the dark. They're rickety.
Ah, what do we got down here?
Government patrol launch. Watch your step.
Hey, this is a little beauty.
Ahoy, Commander.
Aye, aye, Major Lawrence.
We're coming aboard the launch. I want to stop that steamer before she gets out into open water.
Come aboard, sir. We can round her up before she gets out of the harbor with this little job, sir.
All right, aboard with you.
Yep. There. Come on, Skip.
Yeah, coming up. Oh, nice solid deck, too. I'll give you a hand, Major.
Oh, don't need it.
Oh, thanks, just the same. All right, Commander, let's go.
Belay there! Drop the stern line!
Line release, sir!
Captain Friday, we've got 2 or 3 minutes before we get near enough the steamer to signal. I want to know what this is all about.
I think I can put the whole thing together if you'll tell us how you got away from Marmaduke Island alive.
Well, as you remember, we landed on the island, and I left you and Skip Turner here hidden near the shoreline.
Yeah, for 3 hours.
Yes, well, things went wrong. I was supposed to go inland to a trapper's cabin and pick up the girl.
Judith Wright?
Yes. Instead, I was taken prisoner. I had an Army GI watching the cabin to be sure the girl was kept there until I could arrive.
Was she a prisoner in the cabin?
Yes, being held by a couple of pretty rough characters.
We'd located the cabin, and my soldier was watching the place.
Yeah, but if you wanted the girl, why didn't you take Captain Friday and me in with you? We could have stormed the place.
I couldn't do that. That'd have given my whole show away. I'm up here to break up a smuggling and kidnap ring.
So that's what we're up against, huh?
Well, isn't it pretty obvious? They got away with Judith Wright, didn't they?
But if you were going to kidnap her by yourself...
Well, you see, I'm known in these parts. You and Skip Turner aren't. I knew that the next depot in the smuggling chain was here in Port Lancer. I wanted to get the girl in your hands and have you deliver her here. I thought you, as strangers, might spot the hideout here quicker than I could. The gang on this end might even come out in the open, thinking you were the men who were supposed to deliver Miss Wright here.
Oh, but the plan didn't come off, huh?
No. I was made a prisoner. The soldier on guard saw it happen. He dashed in and grabbed up the girl and got out of the cabin.
He thought you was dead.
Well, they yelled to him that they'd kill me unless he brought the girl back. But I ordered him to keep running.
Well, he arrived where we were with a knife blade between his shoulder blades.
Yeah, one of the kidnappers was a French-Canadian knife thrower. When he ran out of the cabin with a knife in his hand, I was afraid of what was going to happen.
Yeah. But the boy made it, and we got the girl to the mainland where we left the horses. We rode into Port Lancer, stopped at the livery stable. By the way, that Scotch livery stableman is one of the gang.
Good. We'll pick him up. How do you know?
He slugged me. I didn't hit hard enough. When he lured Skip here into the stable, I'd come around and I clipped him instead.
That wasn't very clever of him.
Oh, but it did distract our attention long enough to give the girl a break. She made the most of it.
You mean she ran away when you were in the stable?
Yeah. Luckily, we came to in time to see her running in the direction of the forest. We followed her to her cabin.
Not the cabin of that East Indian, Ovid.
That's the cabin.
Hey, we're drawing up on a steamer. Look how much brighter our lights are.
Yeah, only a minute or two longer now. Go on, Captain.
Now, we looked in the window and saw Ovid putting the girl into a casket.
That's how they've been shipping human beings into the United States.
United States?
Certainly. Any unwelcome character who wanted to slip into the United States could do it by paying $1,000 to this underground smuggling ring.
But Major Lawrence, Judith Wright ain't headed for the United States.
Well, she thinks she is. She paid $1,000 to be taken in.
I wondered if it wasn't something like that.
You mean they'd play a dirty trick like that? Take $1,000 from a girl to slip her into the U.S. and then...
And then, when she put herself in their hands, ship her off to the Bay of Bengal slave market. Why not? That way they collect double.
Well, if that ain't a low-down dirty trick.
Good. The commander's signaling for the steamer to pull up.
Well, the steamship seems to want to argue. Doesn't want to be stopped in midstream.
Hey, we got a machine gun aboard. Look, Cap, the commander's pulling the cover off of it.
Yeah, he'll use it, too, unless the master of that craft heaves to and in a hurry. He'll give him one more chance.
And that's the last chance.
Yeah. Well, the captain of the steamer's given in. That means he's going to wait for us. Good work, Commander.
I'll have a word with the master of that craft for trying to brush us off. He can't do that.
Go ahead, Commander. Take him apart.
We'll run up alongside now. Ahoy there! Show us the line. Down the ladder over your side. United States government, and keep a civil tongue in your head.
Well, why did you say so, mister? All right, hurry up, come aboard.
All right, Major, up the ladder with you.
Thanks, Commander. Follow right behind me, Captain Friday. You too, Skip.
Yeah, right with you, Major.
All right, up we go.
Hey, this ain't no cannery boat, Captain.
Yeah. I was mistaken.
How much further?
The Major's up. Here I go over the rail. All right, over with you, Skip.
Yeah.
This man says he's the master of this ship, Captain Friday.
How do you do, sir? Name's Hanson. If I'd had any idea it was a government boat chasing us, I'd have pulled around before.
What's your destination, Captain Hanson?
South Pacific, Indian Ocean.
Bay of Bengal?
Certainly. All the ports around the bay. There's nothing underhanded about that. My clearance papers show
that... Don't
worry.
I think you've got a passenger aboard.
Yes, we carry supercargo when there is any.
This man's an East Indian. Name of Abid.
Yes, I have such passengers.
Mind taking us to him?
Certainly not. He has the number 2 cabin to the starboard.
Just a minute, Hanson.
Aye, Major.
Captain Friday and Skip Turner can get Abid. I want a little talk with you.
I hope all this isn't going to take too long. If I miss the high tide, I'm not going to get across the bar tonight.
Well, that depends on you. Go ahead, Captain Friday.
Okay, Major. Come on, Skip.
What's that all about, Captain? Why the private conversation?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Major Lawrence suspected Hanson's in this underground blackbirding deeper than he pretends.
You mean this ship's part of the smuggling deal?
Hanson could be in it all the way. Or he may be the unknowing instrument. After all, even Major Lawrence didn't suspect Judith Wright was in that casket.
Sure, just a dead Chinese being returned to his ancestors.
Yeah. Uh-oh, this is the cabin.
Yeah, number 2, all right.
Who is it?
Message from Captain Hanson. Open up.
What is the message?
Don't be a fool. I'm not going to shout it through a locked door.
The ship is not moving. Why is that?
There's trouble in the engine room.
Engine room?
Yeah. We got to make repairs before we cross the bar out into the open ocean.
So that is the reason.
Yeah, now open the door. I got an urgent message from Captain Hanson.
Who are you?
Second mate, hurry up. I got to get back on duty.
I have unlocked the door. Open it and come in.
You wait outside here, Skip. He's going to pull a fast one.
Okay. You walk into something, I'm here to get you out.
Here I go.
Yes? Come in, Mr. Mate.
You got your lights off.
I always get seasick. I am lying in my berth. I think it helps me if I keep my cabin dark.
You got up to unlock the door?
I just barely made it. I'm very sick, so close the door and deliver your message.
I'd much prefer to have a little light on the subject.
If you please.
I don't please. I want light.
So, it is not the second mate at all. It is the Captain Friday.
Yeah, and that's a lot of hooey about you being seasick. Telling me you were in your berth and all the time you're standing there waiting to wallop me over the skull when I stepped into the cabin.
How did you get aboard the ship?
You'd better forget about trying to escape, Bobbin. There's a government patrol boat alongside.
You must be insane. I have no wish or reason to try to get away.
Don't give me any of that. You got a white girl down in the hold of this ship in a coffin.
Maybe you'd like to prove that?
I don't have to. Major Lawrence saw the casket taken aboard this craft left port.
Perhaps the Major was mistaken.
What kind of mischief are you hinting at now?
Do you think for 1 minute, Captain Friday, that we did not anticipate just this? You don't suppose we're such fools as to be caught with a girl stowaway?
What are you saying?
But of course, naturally, if we did have a girl in a coffin on the ship, it would be so arranged that the whole business could be jettisoned into the bay.
Are you saying you threw Judith Wright into the bay?
If she was ever aboard, it would be the thing to do, wouldn't it? With plenty of way to send her and the casket to the bottom quickly.
Skip, come here quick.
Right behind you, Captain.
You hear what Abbott's been saying?
Yeah, you want I should wring his neck.
I've got both you men covered. The first one to make a move.
Get him, Skip!
You bet you!
Get that gun, Skip! I got Abbott, get the gun!
Got it!
That takes care of friend Abbott.
Yeah. You got him right on the point of the jaw.
And that's not all he's going to get if they threw Judith Wright overboard, nailed in that coffin. Okay, down the ladder into the hold of the ship.
Yep.
You coming, Skip?
Yeah, I'm coming down.
Careful. It's a 20-foot fall if you lose your grip.
Yep, 20 feet down into darkness.
Hey, don't come so fast. You're stepping on my fingers.
Well, I'm just trying to keep with you. I thought the Major would come down with us.
He's got a job wringing a confession out of the ship's captain. He and the commander will have the whole story by the time we clean up down here.
Oh, then they did arrest him, huh?
Whole ship's under arrest for smuggling and kidnapping and blackbirding. There. All right, I'm down. Watch it.
I'm down, too. I might as well be in a coal bin for all I can see.
I got a couple of flashlights. Borrowed them off of Captain Hanson here.
Oh, thanks. Hey, they really give off a light.
Yeah. Ship's got a pretty good cargo here. Look here. Cases of canned fish, bales of cured skins and furs.
This end down here seems to be loaded with cedar logs.
Looks like there was a little bit of everything down here.
Yeah, everything but Judith Wright's coffin.
Wait a minute. Listen.
Sounds like something's loose.
There is. Let's see if we can locate it.
Yeah, but if we're looking for Judith
Wright...
It's
all over this way somewhere.
Hey, here it is, over this way. Hey, Captain Friday, come here.
What is it, Skip? Hey, there's a hatch open.
No kidding, and right outside's the ocean.
Then Abbott meant what he said. They did dump the coffin and girl into the bay.
Well, the dirty skunks. They drowned Judith like a rat just to hide evidence against themselves.
Didn't even take time to close the hatch again. They must have been rushed. Probably threw her overboard when they heard the launch whistle to heave to.
Oh, and it's to Christmas, Cappy. I've never felt so rotten about anything. Poor kid in that casket with the lid screwed down.
Please, do not feel so bad.
Hey.
If I've given you any anguish...
Judith Wright, what are you doing down here in the hold of this ship?
You're angry with me.
But you're supposed to be in that coffin at the bottom of the harbor.
Yes. It's not my fault I'm not. I have a friend.
On this ship?
Yes, down here in the hole. He's a stowaway.
Where is he?
Houlihan! Please, it's all right to come out.
Houlihan, huh?
They don't mind if you're a stowaway. Ah, there you are.
Yeah, but sure now you shouldn't have given me away.
You have nothing to fear from Captain Friday and Skip Turner. This is O'Houlihan, Captain Friday.
Hello, O'Houlihan.
And the same to you, mister.
Now, then, what's been going on here?
Well, as the little lady here says, I'm a stowaway.
You sure picked yourself a sweet ship to hide out on.
Well, you can't be pickish. Ain't many ships come up this way anymore. Take what you can get.
Okay. So you stowed aboard this craft. What then?
Well, I overheard Captain Hansen and that East India feller, Abbott. I heard him talking.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was down here. They put that there coffin right up next to that hatch there. And Abed told the captain that if there was any sign of trouble, the hatch was to be opened and the coffin dumped overboard.
Yeah?
And then they went away.
Go on.
Well, being a curious cuss, I kept wondering what was in the coffin that they didn't want the police to know about.
And so you unscrewed the lid?
Yeah, I reckon I did. And you can imagine my surprise when out pops the little lady here. She was kind of mad at me at first,
well,
though.
I thought he was spoiling the whole thing.
You hadn't heard the conversation about dumping you?
No, I'd heard nothing. But when O'Houlihan told me what they might do to me, I got out of the coffin quick, but yes.
Well, I think O'Houlihan ought to get a decoration.
Oh, yes, so do I. Because we'd hardly filled the coffin up with two sacks of flour and screwed the lid down again when we heard a boat whistle. We heard someone coming down into the hole. We rushed over here and opened the hatch and threw the casket into the water. It's a miracle I'm alive.
You're telling us. And all because you were such an obstinate young woman. All because you insisted on putting yourself in the hands of these unscrupulous men.
Yes, I know that now. But I was so anxious to get into the United States. It was so necessary that I reach my friends who are in the United States.
Sister, did you think you was headed for the USA?
Yes, for Seattle.
Well, then, wouldn't you have been surprised when you woke up and found yourself in one of the Bay of Bengal ports being sold as a slave girl to some second-rate Malaya potentate?
You're fooling me.
Well, ask Captain Friday.
Captain Friday? They would not have done such a thing. I can't
Skip's
believe
Skip's telling
that
you exactly where you were headed for.
But I paid that Mr. English and Mr. Abbott $1,000 to get me into the United States.
Then you got exactly what was coming to you. Don't you know there's only one safe way to get into the United States, and that's on a passport?
Oh, that's the awful thing. I have no country anymore. I have no passport. There's no way for me to enter legally, even for a short time. All the friends I have are in America.
She's a refugee from Norway, she was telling me.
Yes, my parents were killed. I escaped the enemy through Sweden, Finland, and then Russia. I've been almost 2 years crossing Russia. And then for a price, a Russian pilot flew me over to Alaska.
Where in Alaska?
It was Fairbanks.
That's where you made your first contact with the Blackbirders?
Blackbirders?
Yeah, that's what they call men who smuggle human cargo.
Oh, yes, it was in Fairbanks.
Major Lawrence will be interested in that.
Major Lawrence? But you told me he was killed.
I thought he was. He's alive enough, though. Up on deck now, questioning the captain and Ovid. The whole ship's under arrest by order of the United States government.
Oh, it is now. Well, what does that make me?
That puts you in a mess, O'Houlihan.
Well, I've been in a mess most of my life. So one more ain't gonna kill me, I guess.
I don't think you're in half the trouble you'd have been in if you'd been caught by Captain Hansen. He'd have thrown you to the sharks, and that would have been the end of O'Houlihan.
But to get back to you, Judith, that was a dirty trick you pulled at the livery stable, letting the captain here and me get clipped over the head while you beat it for the cabin in the woods.
I was so anxious to get to America. I knew I was with good men when I was with you, but I tried so hard and so long to get to America. I just couldn't give up when I was so near.
How did you know to go to Ovid's cabin?
I was told on Marmaduke Island. I was told that if anything went wrong, I was to contact Mr. Ovid at that cabin in the woods.
Uh-huh. Well, for everybody concerned, it's a good thing that old Scotch livery stable owner didn't knock out Skip and me the way he was supposed to.
Oh, yes. That time when I knew you'd followed me to the cabin, I was very angry with you, for which I apologize now. At this moment, I'm most happy to have you here.
Well, you ought to be, sister. You ought to get right down on your knees to Captain Fry.
Cut it out, Skip.
But what is to become of me now? I have no place to go. I have no home, no people.
Yeah, that's bad.
For months and months, I've been putting all my hope on finding refuge in your beloved United States. Sometimes it's kept me from freezing to death, sometimes from starving. Just remembering that sometime I would be safe in America. And now look at me. Now there's no hope.
Yeah, sure, now it's a dad-burned blazing outrage. That's what it is.
We're going up on deck.
I'm under arrest.
That depends on Major Lawrence. You too, O'Houlihan.
Mm-hmm, that it suits me. The air down here in the hold of this ship's beginning to get on my nerves anyhow.
Come on over to the ladder. Okay. I'll go up first. Miss Wright, you follow me.
Yes. Is it far?
About a 20-foot climb. Just hang on tight. You'll be all right.
I'm glad it's dark.
O'Houlihan, you follow up the ladder right after Miss Wright.
I will, Ed.
Skip, you bring up the rear. Okay, here I go. All right. Come on, Miss Wright.
Yes. If only the boat didn't sway and bounce so.
You next, O'Houlihan.
Yep. I'm right on the little lady's heels.
Yeah, and I'm right after you. Okay, we're all on the ladder, Captain.
Okay, Skip. It's almost over, Miss Wright. You all right?
Yes. It's not too bad.
Yeah. I'm going up through the hatch now. Wait till I get on deck and I'll give you a hand. All right, now give me a hand. Reach up.
Oh, it's so dark.
That's it. Now, up with you.
Oh, don't let go of me.
There you are. Safe on deck.
And here I come now. Oh, man. Don't that fresh air smell good?
Phew. There, everybody's up.
Oh, who's there?
That you, Commander?
Oh, it's you, Captain Friday. What do you got with you?
Here now. Turn that blame flashlight out of my eyes.
Well, if it isn't O'Houlihan. What are you doing on this craft, Irish?
Oh, now, is that you, Commander?
You know who it is, all right.
He was a stowaway. I think we owe him a vote of gratitude.
Yeah?
Yeah. Turn your flash over on the girl.
Girl? Why, this is the girl who's supposed to be at the bottom of a bay in a casket.
Yes. It's because of O'Houlihan here that I'm alive.
O'Houlihan overheard the plot to dump her if the authorities showed up. He opened the casket, filled it with sacks of flour.
O'Houlihan, you're all right.
Commander, do you feel sick?
I've been patrolling these coasts for 10 years, and O'Houlihan and I have had a lot of trouble in that time. He's a thief and a poacher and an old good bum. But saving this girl's life makes up for the lot of it.
I'm that important.
You bet. Miss Wright, you can give the United States government a line in this whole underground blackbirding setup. You can point out the various depots where they hid you out.
Oh, yes, I can do that.
You do, and I don't think there's anything Major Lawrence won't do for you.
Anything?
Yeah. He spent 2 years and lost a lot of good men trying to round up these smugglers. You help him break up the ring, and he'll go all the way with you.
Oh, would he? Do you suppose
what Miss Wright's trying to say, Commander, her country's in the hands of the enemy. Her relatives have been killed. She spent 2 years trying to get into the United States.
Oh, yes. Do you suppose Major Lawrence will let me in? Will he help me to do what's necessary?
I bet he will.
Where is the Major now?
In the captain's cabin. Still trying to break down the captain of the ship and that East Indian.
They won't talk?
We've got enough to hang the lot of them now, but we need definite evidence for the courts.
I should think if we sprung Miss Wright on
them. Hey, sure. They think she's at the bottom of the bay.
Come along. This is the door. I'll open it and you step in, Miss Wright.
But yes.
But I tell you, Major Lawrence, I do not know of any such girl as Judith Wright. If she is on board this craft...
And I am on board this craft, Mr. Abbott.
Miss Wright, where did you come from?
You ugly, wicked, unprincipled person. You took $1,000 from me, and then you kidnapped me. And then you tried to drown me.
Oh, this is too bad. This is the end.
Major Lawrence, I can tell you every underground depot where these men kept me, from Alaska to Port Lancer. I would gladly help you.
But if you do that, Miss Wright, I think you've won the friendship of the United States government.
Oh, those are good words. That's what I've wanted you to say. More than anything, I wish to be friends with the great government of the United States.
And so Judith Wright ended her misguided flight from Norway to Port Lancer, finally made her peace with this government, and was given shelter from the desperation and violence of her homeland. And now she is a citizen. A Coffin for the Lady is a Carlton E. Morse production, and another in the series of Adventures by Morse.
Adventures by Morse on Tuned to Yesterday from April 1st, 1944, a syndicated broadcast wrapping up this hour of series on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Yesteryear. And until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.